There are so many parts of the Christmas story to focus on and cherish, and through the last 4 weeks or so, I've kind of picked different parts and elements of the Christmas story for us to think about and focus on a little bit. And I always think it's good to take time with every little bit of the Christmas story, not only to kind of read it as a whole, but also to go back and look at different places and parts of it. And our scripture this morning focuses on a part of the Christmas story that we might not usually think of as part of the Christmas story, but when you look at the time frame and the narrative, it really is. The story is about Simeon and Anna and their part in the Christmas story. The occasion of the scripture that we read a little bit earlier today was a very special time. It was the time of a dedication of a baby Jesus, found in Luke chapter 2. I want to read the telling of the dedication. What I read earlier was the reaction and what happened when they brought Jesus to the temple for dedication. Reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 21. If you want to read this part of the Christmas story, it says, "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout." There are two very special days following the birth of a firstborn son in a Jewish family that was very important at the time of Jesus. Two days that were designated by the Jewish law, and two things that were to happen on those 2 days, and they were very special. The first is the naming of the boy. When the baby boy is given the name that the father has chosen for him, it's also on that day that the baby boy is circumcised. Now, we do circumcision today. Most families, not all, but most families in the United States at least have their boys circumcised, but not completely all. But to a Jewish family, the circumcision of the boy was a very important and special day. It's a day when that family kind of significantly or as a symbol received into the family the child that God had given them. And two things happen on that day, that the baby is circumcised, usually by the rabbi, or by the priest, and on that day, then that boy receives their name. So that's the eighth day. That happened on the eighth day after the child was born. That was designated way back in the law of Moses and was followed all throughout the Old Testament time. And we find that Mary and Joseph followed that same custom in the law of Moses. And then the second day that was very important following the birth of a firstborn boy was the day of dedication. And having completed the time that had been designated to wait, 40 days, the mother and the father would travel to the temple, usually in Jerusalem, if they were able to, and bring that baby boy to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. Baby dedications were very important to the Jewish people. That's actually something that's one of my favorite jobs as a pastor today, are baby dedications. We have in our church what we call baby dedications, and families bring their children to the church, and they usually come up front if you've been around and been a part of that. And we take a few minutes to talk about how important the faith of the parents are in the dedication of a child. And this goes all the way back into Jesus' day and before, and the importance of the faith of the parents. This was very important for the Jewish people. When they brought that son, when they brought that firstborn son to the temple, they were saying that this baby comes from the Lord and belongs to the Lord. There was a consecration, especially of the Jews, of the firstborn male. The purpose was to express thankfulness of the parents for life and also to express that they want that son, they want that child to grow up, to follow the law of Moses and to honor God. And so the parents make a promise at that dedication. And as you know, that's what we do in our times of dedication. As you can see, that custom goes all the way back to Jesus and to the covenant before Jesus of the importance of the dedication of children. And so when we have a baby dedication at our church, we should probably go back to the story and see how significant and important it is in the life of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. In a couple of weeks, we have a dedication of three children from one family in, I believe, the second service. And it is a special time. We've had a couple babies born in the last few weeks, and we're reminded of how precious children are and how important the community of faith is in the raising of children. You see, they didn't do that dedication at home where the priest or the rabbi came and dedicated the child, but they came before the community of God's people and brought that child for dedication. And there was an oath taken by the parents of raising that children to obey the law of the Lord. And in the same way, when we have a dedication, there's the promise of the parents, but there's also the promise of the congregation that we will do what God gives us the ability to do to bless this child and to help the parents to raise them in the Christian faith. So baby dedication, although it might seem a little bit like a ritual to us, is really a very important and special time in the body of Christ. And going back to the story of Mary and Joseph is a way to be connected to it. Verse 23 says, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses. In other words, they were following exactly what they knew God's word wanted them to do. They were following the law. It would have been 40 days since Jesus was born on the time that they would have brought baby Jesus to Jerusalem. We know that Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem's about 6 miles away from the temple in Jerusalem. And so they would have made that trip. We're not sure if they were still living in Bethlehem at that time, but it does seem likely that they were. They were staying in Bethlehem at least for a while, for those 40 days, and maybe quite a time after that. We really don't know how many, because of what God gives us in the Bible about the Christmas story doesn't lay out exactly the number of days between some of these very significant events. But we do know that Jesus was brought to the temple on the 40th day. This dedication takes place probably before the wise men arrive. Although when we think about the Christmas story, I kind of always put the wise men right there after the shepherds get there. The shepherds come and on the night that Jesus was born and they worship, and then I know I tell this story to preschool every year over and over again, and I always tell it like right after the shepherds come, the next thing that happens is that the wise men come. But actually, Jesus' dedication comes before that. And this part of the story, although we almost don't think of it as part of the Christmas story, really is a part of the Christmas story, and it takes place most likely before the time that the wise men came. I mean, it would seem like they come to Jerusalem. That's where Herod was. And we know what Herod did and later said and declared and called for all the babies around Bethlehem to be killed. And there seems to be no indication at this point that there's any tension or any problem or any struggle. Likely these wise men have not yet arrived. In fact, when you look back at the narrative in Matthew, it says that when the wise men asked, they ask, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" They didn't come before Jesus was born. They arrived after Jesus was born. And so this story takes place in the overall story, the Christmas story, before the wise men come. But we also know that that Mary and Joseph brought a sacrifice to the temple, and that was the custom of the law. Also, the parents would bring a sacrifice; they would bring an offering, a thanksgiving offering, with that child to give thanks to the Lord for this life that God had given to them. And we know in this case that Mary and Joseph brought two young pigeons. The only thing significant about that is, according to the law, they were to bring a lamb and a pigeon, or if they could not afford that, they were to bring two young pigeons. And Mary and Joseph, it says in the story, brought two. And that would just be evidence to us that Mary and Joseph were pretty poor. They were not wealthy. If they would have been wealthy, they would have brought a lamb and a pigeon. But two pigeons for Mary and Joseph they brought for this sacrifice that the law had prescribed for them. The dedication of Jesus does remind us, as we think about children, and how special and important every child is. Every child is important to God, and so the law remembers that, and the law reminds us of how every child is to be dedicated to the Lord. When you look at verse 25 here, it says, Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. Simeon must have been fairly well known to be a man that would be talked about and written about by Luke. Luke had to have known some things about Simeon. I think I can probably relate some things. Go on to that next slide, would you please, Nate? I can relate some of the things about Simeon. For one thing, Simeon apparently loved baby dedications, and he was there, and I can relate to Simeon. Another thing about Simeon, and he was pretty old. Some ways I say I'm probably a little bit like Simeon. He loved baby dedications, and another thing about Simeon, and he was always looking forward. He was looking forward to what God was going to do. So there's some things about Simeon I think that are pretty neat and pretty special. He's described as being righteous and devout. In other words, Simeon was the kind of a man that had served God for a long time, and he lived a good life. He honored God, and in honoring God, he followed the law. And in following the law, he had the right perspective on what God was doing in history and what God wanted to do. And he had to have known about the prophecies of the Messiah. I mean, this man, apparently this old man who loved God a long time, was looking forward to, he was one of the guys that got it. Most of the Jewish people in Jesus' day, as he lived out his life as Messiah, it took him a long time to figure out who Jesus really was, but this man Simeon figured it out already. God had revealed it to him. God had given him a special measure of his truth, and so that he knew who Jesus was. He had served God for a long time. He knew and he loved God and he loved the Word of God. And Simeon just strikes me as one of those kind of men that you just want to be around. One of those old men that you can learn from and whose attitude and spirit are winsome and attractive. And, you know, sometimes people aren't that enjoyable to be around, but Simeon was not that kind of a person. He was the kind of man that you were attracted to because he was looking forward to what God wanted to do. I believe that Simeon loved God in a way that wasn't a rigid set of rules for him. Being a Jew, sometimes the Jews kind of got into following the law in this strict order, and they did this and they didn't do that, and they kind of sensed their righteousness from that. But Simeon wasn't like that. He loved God and he looked forward to whatever God wanted to reveal and do in his life. And so God gave him this great gift. I believe Simeon was the kind of man that was living out a neat relationship with God, a living relationship with God. Simeon reminds me how important it is to live out a life of an active relationship with God. It's not just the prophecies and the scriptures. It's not just your Bible in front of you or lays on your coffee table or you have in your book bag that makes you a Christian. It's a living relationship with God. And Simeon gives us that picture of a living relationship. Simeon also had great hope. Simeon had great hope. In his words and his actions, you could see that he was looking forward to what God was going to do. Simeon knew that God was alive and at work. Simeon knew that it wasn't just about the past, but God was working. And I want to say to us today, God has something he wants to do in your life, in my life, and in this church, and in this community. God is always planning and looking toward the future, and Simeon was like that. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the scripture says. He was looking forward to what God wants to do. What about in our lives? Are we looking forward to what God's going to do in your life? What does God want to do in your life in 2014? Is it all about what he's done in the past? Or are you looking forward to what God wants to do in the future? I mean, this man, Simeon's an old man. And you know, he probably could have given up and said, well, I've lived my life. I've gotten everything I'm going to get. And, you know, I've made my mistakes and I've had my glories. But it wasn't about the past with Simeon. It was about what's God going to do in the future and the blessings of God and the promise of God and the Messiah of God. One thing I love about both Simeon and Anna is they seem to be people looking toward the future. And that's a beautiful picture. We also know that Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit. His movements, his words, his attitude were led by the Spirit. I mean, we just have a paragraph about Simeon, but everything in that just is packed with this man who is so full of the Holy Spirit of God that everything that comes out of him is about the glory of God and the wonder of God and the plan of God and what God has done and what God is going to do. God had made a great promise to this man, Simeon. Long ago, God had given Simeon a special glimpse. I don't know if God chose Simeon because he was a righteous and a devout man. Maybe that's why. Maybe because of the great hope that Simeon had and the great spirit and the great attitude, and he was just ripe. You know, like some Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God saw a man named Abram, and God chose a boy shepherd named David. And we don't always know why God chooses certain people for certain things, but we know that God chose Simeon for something very special. And he put within Simeon a great promise and a great glimpse of his plan. And Simeon, over time, he didn't just hear that and then it was gone, but he cherished that promise. I don't know how many years Simeon did, how many years he had heard that promise, but a long time ago it had been revealed to him. Verse 26 says, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I don't know at what time in life Simeon had been given this great picture and this great promise of God, but I kind of take from the context that it had been a long time ago, and he had lived a long life looking forward to whatever God was going to do. God promised he would do it, and Simeon knew that I will not die until I see the Messiah. He held on to that for a long time. For many years it had been revealed to him. He knew in his heart that he would see the Messiah. And that day that Mary and Joseph walked in on that dedication, Simeon knew that he was the one that God had promised to him for a long time. And he knew that this one would bring salvation to all the world. He knew, in verse 32 it says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Three things about what God showed Simeon that I think are special. Number one, that Jesus was the Messiah. And number two, verse 32 says that he'll be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That might not seem like much to us, but you remember, this is a Jewish man in 2,000 years ago, before Jesus even lived to tell us who he was and demonstrate his life. Simeon announces that this baby, this child, this Jewish baby would be the salvation for Gentiles. This is like the first direct revelation who Jesus is. This really is a great revelation. You would expect Simeon, being a Jew and being an old man and living in Jerusalem all his life, that he would be thinking in terms of what Jesus is going to do for the Jewish people. And he is. After the next thing he says is about the Jewish people. But what he says is he's going to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This truly was an amazing prophecy. It was a miracle. He could only know that by the Spirit of God within him, by the Holy Spirit that was inside of him. And when we think of how amazing those words would have been for Mary and Joseph to hear, you just look at their reaction in a moment and see how they reacted to it. This is the first declaration of the good news for the Gentiles. You know, that includes us. That means us. For all the Gentiles, God has sent baby Jesus. These words of prophecy, they were amazing. Look now at the reaction of Mary and Joseph. Verse 33 says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. I mean, Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about him. You would think, how could Mary marvel about anything after all she's already experienced? I mean, she experiences this angel that comes to her and tells her she's going to have a baby. She doesn't have a husband. I mean, how could she handle the miracle of that and the meaning of that and the depth of that and then all that happened and how the angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him to take Mary as his wife, that the baby was from the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I would think they've already received all the amazing news they could handle, but it says that when Simeon spoke, his words and his message also was amazing to them. And they marveled at what was said about him. And there was then, after this message, then Simeon blesses the family. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. I know we haven't talked a lot about, and that many times have I referred to the importance of the blessing, but this scripture and this story just reminds me of the importance of blessing our children, how important the blessing is for our children. That's part of what a dedication is. Although that's not the only reason to have a baby dedication, that's an important part, but even more important than that to me is to remember how important it is to bless our children and our teens. When I say our children, I mean our young people. I don't have a specific age, but how important young people are, that old people bless them and care about them and love them and shower them with care and affection. And Simeon did that. He blessed Mary and Joseph. He blessed them all. The important sense of value and belonging, this sense of importance. I know that I don't do a lot of things well, I'm sure, and some things I try better than others, but I hope my life is a blessing to you young people. Tell you how I feel about that. I feel like God's given me a responsibility to try to encourage people in the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to try to do. Whether you're young or you're old, God calls us to be encouragers. God calls us to help people along in the journey and encourage one another. That one another is so important. And this story just reminds me of one place, one time, when we read the importance of the blessing. Simeon blessed them. And he also gave them a warning to Mary and Joseph. And the warning, it kind of comes at the end of the message of Simeon, and you think all these good things that Simeon has said, and they are beautiful, but Simeon also tells Mary and Joseph the truth about the path of the Messiah. Simeon knew the whole story. He knew that it wasn't going to be easy. He knew that though God had sent the Messiah and all the salvation and the power of God was coming to the Gentiles and the Jews, Simeon also took time to tell Mary and Joseph the truth about the way of the cross and that who Jesus would be. It would not be an easy path, the way of the cross. And he says that a sword will pierce your own soul too when he's talking to Mary. And he's saying to Mary, Mary, you're also going to have to go through a difficult time. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. You think if you would read that part of the story but not know the rest of the story and the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, you might think, well, that story ends very sadly. But Simeon was giving the truth to he knew the whole story. The Holy Spirit had given to him, and he delivers it with truth to Mary and to Joseph and to the baby Jesus. And then there's Anna. She's described as the prophetess. I don't know exactly what ministry she had over time, but hearing the word of God. Again, here's somebody else who had listened intently for the truth of God. She had been seeking. She had been in the temple fasting and praying day after day, week after week, year after year, listening to the voice of God, and God had come to her and given her also the special revelation. Someone to whom God also had filled with deep faith. Both Simeon and Anna seem to be characters from the Christmas story that had the deepest of faith and already had been seeking the hope of the Messiah and the hope of God. God had filled with a deep faith. We're also told about Anna. A couple other things. We're told that she was very old. And we're told how old she is, which is kind of interesting. It says here that she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. And she was very old. And, of course, I've been thinking about this scripture this week. And then my dad came on Wednesday and talking to him about what I was preaching about, I realized my dad's 84. But, Dad, you're not very old. You might be old, but you're not very old. But to a Jewish person, 84 was very, very old. And Luke records that. Very old. She had been a widow a long time. She had a deep faith. And she was faithful. And we see the evidence of her faithfulness. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Now, there were, the temple was very large in Jerusalem, the second temple and the third temple, much larger than Solomon's, the original temple. And there were rooms that people could lay down in, not the inner temple, of course, but more like the courts around the outside. So it's possible that she slept there. But I think the scripture is saying that every waking moment of this woman's life, she was seeking God's Spirit. Every moment she was praying and saying, God, speak to me. Help me to see and know what you want to me. She demonstrates for us this great lady, a very thankful spirit. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Not only was Anna having a thankful spirit, but she also had a spirit of blessing and praise and telling people what God was going to do. Not only was she looking forward to what God was going to do, but she was telling people about that. And her life was a demonstration of a thankful spirit. I would call Anna what I imagine as being a sweet spirit. She had a right attitude within her. She had a sweet spirit within her. And she poured that out on the people around her. Anna's one of those old women, one of those old ladies that would be a great blessing to be around and to be cherished. She had a thankful spirit. She had a sweet spirit. And she also had a hopeful spirit. She was looking forward to what God was going to do. Both Simeon and Anna just remind me over and over again how important it is that we look forward. We look forward to what God wants to do, that we're not dwelling on the past, but we're looking forward to all the things that God wants to do. She had a spirit that was looking forward, looking for the blessings of God. And on that day, God gave her a very delightful gift. Simeon and Anna are great examples of the kind of spirit, even at an old age, that God wants us to have, a kind of spirit of thankfulness and a spirit of hopefulness, a spirit of looking forward to all that God wants to do. I hope that if I do live to an old age, and I know I'm well on the way, that I'll have an attitude and a spirit like Simeon and Anna, looking forward to all that God wants to do. Verse 40 says, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." As we kind of come to the end of the Christmas story, we realize that God is continuing to work in the life of baby Jesus. He's growing stronger. He's filled with wisdom, and the grace of God is upon him. Would you stand with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the story of Simeon and Anna and their lives of faithfulness and dedication to you, and how in the lives of these two older people in the Christmas story we can see hope and we can see a thankful spirit and we can see a spirit of people that are looking forward to what God wants to do. I pray that we in this church and our faith and our lives will look forward to what God wants to do. I pray that our attitude and our heart and our spirit would be all that you want us to be. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to be seekers after you in all that we do. Thank you today for the privilege of worship. Thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for all the beauty and the wonder of all the people that we see in it. And pray that you would teach us and help us to be godly people, seeking your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.